Well, you can sit down if you want to. Stand up if you want to. Whatever you want to do. Move around if you want to. Won't bother me none. When you start preaching when you was 18 and the church isn't any bigger than this section right here, and there's one door in the back and that's it, two houses out behind, you learn to preach at people moving and kids crying and everything else. Hey, Tony Cook's in the house tonight. He was on this staff for 19 years. He was a great help. He's still a great help. But in fact, me and him both thought he'd be here forever, but the Lord had different ideas. But this is the most honorable associate pastor that I know of that's ever left a staff. He's always comes when he's in town, and he always honors us, and so I want to give him some honor tonight. Bless you, Tony. You know, I'm going to go back over some things that you already know. But you know what? It's good to review sometimes. How many of you remember in school, they always would go back and review things? In my class at the training college, many times they want me to do a review before the test is coming up, but I don't do it. All right. But, you know, many people are wanting to receive, but you know what? They're waiting on God. That's not the way it works. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And then 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Let's read that from the NLT. "For what gives you the right to make such judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift?" You know, actually both of these scriptures are putting emphasis on receiving. You receive it. You know, so put on your imagining cap right now and imagine there's a knock or your doorbell rings and you go to the door and there's a FedEx man or one of the UPS or one of the other delivery services there with a big package. And you open the door and you sign a piece of paper marked received, and he leaves you holding the gift. It's yours, and all you had to do was receive it. People need to learn about receiving and obtaining the blessings of God. You know, receiving from God is not subtracting, it's adding. We don't give up things so that we can receive something. You know, I've heard this, and I heard it when I was a kid. And some of the old Pentecostals, people used to talk like this. And so this one man, he came to the pastor and he said, I can never be a Christian. My wife keeps telling me that I got to quit doing this and that and all these things. What she doesn't know is I've tried and I can't." You know, that pastor was very wise. He just said, "Hey, you don't have to give up anything. All you have to do is receive Jesus as your Savior." You know, there, let's go back. Look at it, John 1:12. "But as many as received him." You can't live for God on your own strength. It's after you receive Jesus that he gives you the power to overcome everything that comes your direction. It's not giving up things and trying to be a better person that gets you saved. You just have to receive the gift of salvation. It's a gift. All you have to do is receive it. You know, some people say, man, if you just quit sinning, you can get saved. Well, that's a dumb statement, because they couldn't quit if they wanted to. All you got to do is accept him, Jesus, as your Savior, receive him as your Savior, and then you don't want to do the other stuff anymore. You know, many people are not healed because they've never recognized him as the healer. They've recognized him as a Savior. And do you know there are many, many, many people that are saved and born again and are going to heaven that have never recognized Jesus as the healer? That's true. Some people think, well, if you're saved, well, you know, no, you have to realize he's the healer too. You have to realize he's the provider too. All of those are things that you receive. You know, you don't give up poverty until you accept the provider. You don't get healing until you accept the healer, just like you don't get salvation until you accept the Savior. You know, it's simply done by confessing. Jesus says, whatever, you know, your Savior or whatever else you need. Boy, y'all are quiet tonight. Angela, you know, she's over all of our children, and she said, boy, they're sure quiet. I'm not used to that in the children's church. But y'all are sitting there sort of looking at me sort of funny. You know, some people say, you know what? You confess all your sins and then God will save you. That's a dumb statement. You know what? You couldn't confess all your sins if you wanted to, because you can't remember all of them. All you have to do is accept him and they're washed away. You know, some people talk about, well, they say, man, if I just get Brother Hagin, or they used to pray for me, I'll get healed. Well, that's not necessarily so. You know, one time, it's been a long time ago now, because Dad's been gone 20 years, but they called up to my office and they said, there's a fellow down here, and said he wants Brother Hagin to pray for him. I told him Brother Hagin's out of town, but that you were here and that you would pray. And so I went down there and he said, you're not the right Brother Hagin. And I tried to tell him, it doesn't make any difference who prays for you. They don't have any control over whether you get healed or not. You control it yourself. But I've heard some people say, man, you know, if I can just get enough people praying for me, I'll get the answer. They call every prayer line in the country, get them to praying for them. Thank God for prayer. We need prayer. But I don't care how many prayer lines are praying for you, you're not going to get it until you learn how to use your own faith and receive. Come on now. You know, let's think about this for something. Let's look at this. And I've seen people do this. If I reached in my pocket and got a $10 bill and gave it to William there, said, hey, it's yours. Go buy you a hamburger or something. So, and he come back to me next Wednesday night and said, oh, Pastor, can I spend this money? Can I use it? Is it mine? Can I spend it? You'd think something's wrong with him. You know, people are like that about the promises of God sometimes. They know about them, but they have never used their faith to receive them. It's one thing to know about the promises of God. It's another thing to receive them. It's one thing to know how to operate a vehicle, but it's another thing to drive it. Hello? You know, they have these simulators now. And it's one thing to drive that race car in a simulator. It's another thing when you get in that car yourself and start driving. I've driven. I used to have an old street stock back in 7980s. Anybody remember that? Some of them, we went out to the racetrack and I raced against the dean and I won too. Anybody remember that? But it's one thing to do it on a simulator, know about it, okay? It's another thing to get on that track and start driving with other cars out there. That's a whole different ball game. It's one thing to get in a simulator and learn how to drive a car, but it's another thing to get out there on that street driving it with real cars. Hello? See, there's a lot of people that have read the Word, and they say, oh, I read the Word, and some of them can quote more of the Word than you can. But yet, they're living far below their privileges because all they do is they know about it. They've never learned how to receive it. Because too many people are looking for God to do it, and God's already done all He's going to do. It's your move. Some people, you know, I'm just waiting on God. No, you're not. God's waiting on you. It's your move. You know, how many ever played a board game like checkers or chess or one of those games, you know, and you move and then you said, oh, and the other person not paying attention, say, hey, it's your move. You move, and then they move. You move, they move. You move, they move. And you keep doing that till it's over. Well, if you'll keep moving, God will keep moving. Amen. Hello? You know, a lot of people, and I've come up against this, and people say, well, you know, you don't know where I came from. You don't know this or that. And I tell them, I said, it doesn't matter where you came from. As a believer in Jesus Christ and the Word of God, no matter what your circumstances were, what your situation is, you can move from that position to the position of victory. But in order to do that, you got to move toward God. You got to move toward Him. Now, you know, in some towns, you find that there's an affluent part of town, and actually, you go past one street and it just changes. I know we visited. I don't know how it is in New York now. This is years ago. We visited New York City, and we were driving down. I forgot what street it is. We were driving down. And man, everything was really nice, and you went past this intersection, and it changed completely. Looked like a war zone almost. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so suppose there's a man standing here, and he's in the war zone side of the street, and over here on the other side is a man in the affluent side, and he says, "Hey, man. Come on over here. Man, I got a job for you. I got a car. I got a house. I got everything you need. And the guy on over there in the war zone area said, oh, well, that's all right. I'll just stay over here. I got a little bit. I think I can make it. That's all I need. That's what people are doing when they're not cashing in on all the promises of God and receiving all the benefits that God has for them, they're staying in the war zone and say, well, I guess I can make it like it is. Man, you'd think that person's crazy. And yet many Christians sit in the pew every Sunday, every time church, right? They read all the books, they read the Bible, they pray, and yet they're living on barely good along street right next to Humble Alley. Their address is 33rd and Gone Boulevard. When they could be living on Glory Hallelujah Avenue. Come on now. How many of you have you seen people like that? They're born again. They can quote the word, but they're not receiving any of the benefits. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir out there. Y'all all probably know everything I'm talking about. But it doesn't hurt to stir you up again, you know. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir it up. Sometimes we need to stir ourselves up. Hello. You know, my grandpa, you know, he moved off the farm about when I was about, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. But when I was about 5, and I go to that farmhouse, the only fire in the whole house was the fireplace in the living room or sitting area, and then where in the kitchen where the stove was, and that's the only fire in the whole house. Of course, kitchen fire wasn't on. At nighttime, Grandpa would. That fireplace was big. It was huge. How many ever been in them old farmhouses? They got those fireplaces are huge. I mean, he would pile that thing up with wood, and that fire was roaring. But I tell you what, when you got up in the morning, that fire wasn't there no more. But you know what? He'd put a few sticks in there, and he'd take that poker, and he'd slid around a little bit, and all of a sudden, the fire's coming up. The thing about it, you still got it. You just need to stir it up. Somebody's glasses are here. Anybody lose some sunglasses? I don't know. Somebody left some glasses. They're yours, William? No. I'm just kidding, William. You know, they no telling what I'm liable to do. One man told me that's why he come to my church, because he didn't know what I was going to do next. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? You know, we can have God's best. God offers us all his benefits, spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, materially, emotionally, everything. Every day. Every day you can receive. Just not on a special day. You know, some people, they keep thinking, well, I got to go to this special meeting. I got to go here. I got to go there. Or they'll hear about a meeting over here, and they run over there. And they hear about a meeting over here, and they run over there. Hey, God is everywhere all the time. All you got to do is cash in on it. You know, what if somebody... I heard this story once. Guy told a man, he said, you be here tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock at this street corner, and I'm going to give you the keys to a brand new car. Well, the man's friend, after the other guy left, the man's friend said, that couldn't be so. Nobody's going to give you anything. The man replied, well, I sure can't lose anything by going. When I asked you the question, if somebody told you that, would you be at that street corner at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? I would. it ain't going to hurt me to go there. And all I can do is lose out. You know what? Oh, God has already told us right here, everything that belongs to us, so let's go get it. You know, his friend said, well, I wouldn't go if I was you. You just wasted time. Well, I tell you what, the Lord has promised us blessings in his word, and all you have to do is take the key of faith and unlock them. The key of faith is what unlocks every promise that God has. Anybody ever notice that? Faith in what God said. You know, you receive whatever you need from God's word. Not because you heard somebody preaching it or teaching it. What did the word say? And you've heard me say it a thousand times. My dad would say that. What does the word say? You know, I heard somebody on television just here a while back. I was flipping channels and I stopped to listen to this guy. He's teaching. And he said, you know, Brother Hagin says. And I heard what he said. No, he didn't. I don't know why he said Brother Hagin said. All he had to do was say, the Bible says. I don't know whether he thought that would give him credibility or not. To me, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm his son, I think it's stupid. Now, if it's a quote that he said himself, that's one thing. But another thing, to say Brother Hagin said it and then just use the scripture, that's crazy. God doesn't need anybody to verify what he said. Now, you see, when you talk about blessings, you talk about all these things, half of the time when you start talking about receiving the blessings, everybody goes to the financial side, and that's a part of it, and thank God for it. But you can push that to the extreme, and it gets pushed to the extreme too many times. Now, I know people are going to get quiet on me when I start talking about that. My dad told me there's two things when you talk about that people get quiet on you. If you start talking about their kids and talking about getting in their pocketbook. But you know me. I've been here. Some of you have been here since the church started in 85. We receive offerings, but I never do an offering taking up message. I don't do it. I guess if you want to, it's fine. The problem I see with it is that people are using scripture that have nothing to do with giving offerings. They're just using it, taking it out of context and using it out of context. Now, I realize that may get, some of you may get upset at me, but I'm telling the way it is, and I'm 85 or will be in September, and if you don't like it, that's your problem, not mine. I've been in this all my life. I was born on a Sunday morning. It's my dad's church the next Sunday, and I've been here all my life. I've seen and heard everything. And one of the things my dad was very set against was preaching a sermon just so you could get people to give money. He said, just tell them what the need is. Tell them what the word says about giving they would receive. And take two or three, 5 minutes at the most and pass the offering pan. That's what we do around here, right? And you respond to, people respond to the word. See, you know, but when we start talking about blessings from God, everybody wants to go to the financial side. hey, there's a whole lot more to it than that. There's protection. There's healing. There's emotional stability. There's all of these things in the Word of God. You know, some people, I had a person say to me one time, man, you preach about all this stuff, but it can't be that easy. I said, it is. You see, so many times theologians have talked about the Bible until they've made it hard. It's hard to receive. That's not what the Bible says. It's easy. Believe and receive. Or you can go to Mark 11, 23. Say, believe, receive. That's what Mark 11, 23 says. It's the same way you got saved. Right? You heard about Christ. You believed and received. See, people try to make it hard. It's not hard. Speak to the problem. Speak to it. Don't just pray about it. He said in Mark 11, 23, he didn't say pray. He said speak. Hello. And, you know, somebody said, well, you got to do this, or you need to do this to receive. And then if you tell them, no, you don't, they say, well, you know, there's crosses to bear. There's trials and tribulations. Yeah, Jesus said it was going to happen, but he said he overcome them all. Hello. Now, if you want to receive everything that God has, then it's your move. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your move. Hallelujah. Well, I got some more to this, but I'll pick it up next Wednesday night, because I got to speak next Wednesday night, so I'll pick it up.